All right, welcome back to another episode of No Highway Option. It's the cinema podcast where we answer the one question that applies to every movie ever made. Is it better or worse than Vin Diesel's 2005 seminal masterpiece, The Pacifier? I'm one of your hosts, Connor J. Burke, and if John Malkovich wanted to threaten a stuffed animal of mine, it would probably have to be a stuffed Tigger, because that was really important to me as a very young child, I guess.
Huh. All right. I'm your other host, Luke, and I was thinking about, I was broader in it. I had toy in mind. I was thinking of those those little, it's like the snaps, you know?
No.
Like a little box. It's like a little, it's like rocks in a little bag and you throw it at the ground and it like explodes.
Oh,
it's
yeah, not a the stuffed animal. Popper guys.
I was stuck on like, would you get your daughter you've never met? And then John Malkovich could also threaten me with them.
Oh, yeah. No, it was definitely the daughter you never met thing. And then, man, I was up late last night. I'm sorry. And we have a very special guest with us today. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, what's up? It's Cookshaw. How you guys doing?
Our movie today was given to us by last week's guest, Mike Vavzhenik. Thank you, Mike. It is the 1997 Nicolas Cage Sky Prison movie, Con Air. And over on the Instagram Coming Attractions game, only one person got it right from the Con Air hairdresser picture, and that was Aubrey from National Treasure Hunt, so congratulations to Aubrey. The first Sunday of every month over on our Instagram page, we put up some picture clues for 24 hours, and you're able to submit a guess on what you think that picture represents, movie-wise, and if you get it right, then you get a shout-out on the show. Just like this one. This coming Sunday, March 7th, is the first Sunday in March, so we'll have all of this month's movies just plastered up for you to guess, so stay tuned for that, and enjoy the rest of Con Air.
Prison.
I mean, that's what it is.
Alternate titles.
Does anyone have a history with this movie at all?
I remember watching the movie with my father when I was a kid. It was like this movie and then the one about a bus, the runaway bus.
Speed.
Speed, yeah. It's like those two movies were on rotate in like the early 2000s.
Or if it's that Simpsons joke, it's the bus that had to go speed and its speed couldn't go under 50. I think it was called The Bus That Couldn't Slow Down.
This one was like on my list of I need to see it for a while. Right next to the Speed, actually.
They're similar vibes, I think. I know, I definitely knew this existed, like, in high school I was fully aware of, like, put the bunny back in the box and everything. But it was most of it was my first manager at a Dunkin' Donuts, when he first met me, was like, Connor, that sounds like Con Air, I'm gonna call you Nicolas Cage all summer. And I was like, I'm never coming back. Technically, this is a Disney film, because it's Touchstone. Which is just strange. And this is our fifth Jerry Bruckheimer movie after G-Force, The Kangaroo Jacks, and National Treasure.
Wait, does Disney owns the Touchstone?
Touchstone's a Disney print, yeah.
Ah. I
did like, not
it's,
know that.
I didn't it's not even, it's not like they bought them. Like, it was Disney going, we want to release more adult-oriented movies, so let's just make another studio name.
So it was Disney the whole time?
Yeah. Yeah, Roger.
Cheesy one-liners, though. If you really think about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that I feel like added to the charm of the film because it's Nicolas Cage, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone knows that Nicolas Cage doesn't do a normal movie. So I don't know. I remember rewatching it and I just felt like really happy, and I was like, "This is what we're missing in like TV now."
In modern Nick Cage. Speaking of Nick Cage, it opens. His name is Cameron Poe. He's a recently graduated Army Ranger, and his pregnant wife, Trisha, lives in Alabama. And at a bar, there's a regular hound dog, and he berates Nicolas Cage, wants to, you know, dance with his wife, and after jumping them outside, Nicolas Cage defends himself and kills one of them.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens. Also, I was wondering how you guys felt. Do you guys feel like he would, like, if that would happen now, do you think he'd get 7 years or do you think he'd get off? Because I feel like if that happened now, he'd probably be okay.
I think so, too. I think he had a bad lawyer.
Like, that was just straight up self-defense.
Yeah.
I think it's, I think it would also be different, like, just if there were security cameras around or if someone saw any of what was happening.
True, but you had his wife, right? Then yeah. You had the guy that came out of the bar. He had to have seen them get riled up yeah. inside the bar. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel yeah. like all the pieces were there, and he wasn't black. So I'm sitting here like, I just cannot get off. Like, but I understand. I was like, for plot purposes, we'll let it go. We'll let
yeah.
it go.
Mm-hmm. You yeah, got this that has whole bar full somehow. Of people, too. Like, you can see all night mm-hmm. they've been at him.
And he was in the military. They didn't take his word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he got more. He got 7 to 10 years for manslaughter. He got more because he's in the military and he is trained to be a deadly weapon or something. That was their way of explaining it away.
The best line of the whole court scene was, "You're a deadly weapon, sir."
Right, and I was like, word? We're gonna do that? All right. One thing I thought was a nice touch, though, in the first couple opening scenes where he's like writing the letters back and forth to his daughter, the die stays on the number 7 the whole time.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So I think it was like the last frame of the last letter. He was they showed the die and it said 7. So mm-hmm. I ran back to see if like maybe the die was on a different position, like every time they were going through a letter, but it was 7 throughout the whole thing. So I think it was supposed to just represent how long he was in there for.
Cool.
And then they hit the 7s at the end too.
That's true.
Yeah.
How'd you guys feel about the accent?
I was just about to say, he's doing a hell of an accent in this.
It's 97, so I'm letting it go.
I know someone, and he's actually been a guest on this show, who I believe went to school in Mobile, Alabama, where Nick Cage is supposed to be from. He didn't exactly talk like that.
I just thought it was a weird choice, because like, this guy could be a ranger from anywhere, and they were like, we are so confident in Nick Cage's southern accent, we're going to put him in the South.
Apparently, Nick Cage went and lived in Alabama for a while to try and perfect it.
Really?
I mean, the IMDb trivia puts perfect in quotes, so...
At the same time, he's Nicolas Cage, right? So, you're never going to be expected... It's like if Jim Carrey does a role. You're always going to expect a little bit of Jim Carrey or, like, Will Smith. These iconic actors have to bring the characters to life, but also a little bit of extra so that we get what we show up for.
Yeah.
Right. And Nick Cage wasn't the only actor considered. We also had like Johnny Depp, Dolph Lundgren, Keanu Reeves, Kurt Russell, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I see the Keanu Reeves version, definitely.
Yeah.
I would see the Keanu or Tom Cruise version. I think they'd be very interesting. I think if you did like Arnold, Sylvester Stallone, or Bruce Willis, it would just be another one of those types of movies.
It would just be the Expendables on like a plane.
Bruce yeah. Willis version would be a lot more grungier. Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be like Die Hard, but like in the air. Like it'd be yeah. like Snakes on a Plane meets Die Hard. That's what that movie would be like.
Which doesn't sound bad.
I was going to say, yeah, someone in Hollywood is out there trying to pitch that exact thing yeah. right now.
And then Keanu Reeves, I feel like you get the similar story. I feel like you get a quieter Poe. A much quieter Poe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If Keanu Reeves plays it.
Yeah, he's more introspective.
Well, it's right in that sweet spot where both of those guys were, like, pretty heavy on the action thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a big thing I was thinking this whole time, was like, man, there's an alternate timeline where Nick Cage never got off that.
Well, I mean...
That's true.
This and Face Off were released in the same month.
Yeah, I was actually, yeah. I watched the movie with my girlfriend, and Face Off came on for Recommended, and I'm like, have you seen this movie? She was like, no. I'm like, we're going to watch this after.
Nice.
I don't know. I feel like Nicolas Cage did a string of movies where they're more, not art movies, but just, they're just great movies for certain reasons that doesn't make sense, maybe. You know what I mean? In like mm-hmm. a standard
form. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same way with like I mentioned before, Jim Carrey, even John Cusack, everyone on this list, Steve Buscemi, John Malkovich, they're all part of, when they're part of movies, they're part of certain types of movies where they're special, you know?
Yeah, like, it's a real range of, like, I don't want to say quirky, because I feel like that's diminishing how talented they all are, but they're all, like, eccentric, weird character actors, but they're all playing leads, which I think is fascinating.
It's, like, it's more theater than it is a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, Snakes on a Plane and Die Hard Together, the title of that screenplay is obviously Sky Snaker.
Oh, yeah.
Like skyscraper, but snake. So Nick Cage makes a friend in the prison named Baby O, and they're buddies. God's got his back. He's being transferred to a new prison, so they're both going to go on this plane with a bunch of other hardened criminals in order to make a stop off in Carson City and then go straight to Alabama, where Nick Cage will be free and everyone else is going to go to a Supermax prison.
Also, a lot of wacky stuff in that montage of Nicolas Cage in prison teaching himself new skills. Did you catch that? He gets a care package from his wife that's snowballs and a bag of Doritos and Hot Rod magazine.
Yeah. That's what you need in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's being nice.
He learns, I thought he was going to speak Spanish at some point because he taught himself Spanish.
He just wanted to learn.
That would have been definitely cool to see, especially in the later on in the movie after Carson City when they're in the desert.
Yeah.
And like all the plane, I thought they was like, oh, he's going to speak Spanish.
He does call Danny Trejo Muchacho, I think.
Counts, I guess. It is technically something. Spanish.
Overseeing the transport is Vince Larkin, who works for all of that. And he is played by John Cusack. It's always nice to see John Cusack show up, even if I like his sister more.
He has a sister? I didn't know that.
Joan Cusack.
What has she done?
She's Jessie in the Toy Stories. She's in School of Rock.
Okay, maybe I like her more too.
I like her a lot.
I like John too, though.
Yeah, different classics. Yeah, he's great. I just like throwing in Joan Cusack wherever I can.
John would be a great Constantine, now that I'm thinking about it. It's a little off topic, but now that I'm looking at his picture, I'm looking at his IMDb picture for this movie, and I'm like, you make Constantine.
That's another Keanu Reeves connection.
Yeah.
And this plane's full of bad dudes. There's a DEA agent named Agent Sims going on board to get info about a South American drug family that some of them might have. He's not allowed to have guns on the plane, but he sneaks one in. And now we get our supporting cast of terrible people. We've got Billy Bedlam. He did a mass murder of his in-laws when he found out his wife was cheating on him. Diamond Dog, who blew up an NRA meeting and is played by Ving Rhames. And Cyrus the Virus. Robbery, murder, extortion. He killed more people than cancer. John Malkovich just being a weirdo.
They really set it up like he was going to say that a lot of times, and then he didn't say it once.
Because he knows that other people said it for him.
Yeah.
The first choice to play Cyrus the Virus was actually Gary Oldman.
Hmm.
Which, similar energy, I think.
I think it would have been a lower energy performance.
I don't know, because I feel like this is 90s Gary Oldman, and he was like screamy villain at this point, like Lost in Space type, the like I want you to bring in everyone.
Yeah,
Gary Oldman.
Yeah, I don't know if I still think I like their pick.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I think John Malkovich is fantastic.
Gary Oldman to me is not as intimidating as, I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like he wouldn't be as intimidating as the other guy was.
Mm-hmm. And
I wouldn't have thought him immediately, like John Malkovich seeing other stuff, but he really worked here for me.
He's got a really good range that like didn't exactly get shown off when he was during his like big John Malkovich time.
I still need to see that movie where everyone's in his head or he's
being
in
John Malkovich is so good. That's also John Cusack.
I have to see that. I heard really good things about
that. Oh, I love that. It's super weird. And also, Pinball Parker, played by a surprise Dave Chappelle. I had no idea he was in this.
My smile immediately went on my face when I saw Dave Chappelle, because I had forgotten he was in this movie. I was like, Dave Chappelle? This is already great.
He apparently improvised most his lines, which is not surprising.
Yeah. He's the GOAT, man.
Do we know if this is before or after the start of the Chappelle Show? It's probably before, right?
Before, yeah. Because I'm pretty
sure. Because this is 97, right?
Yep. Yeah. And Chappelle's show was 2002, I want to say.
Okay. So he was still probably just jumping around doing as many bits as he could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2003. It was a year off.
I could have used more of Pinball.
Absolutely. Yeah, way too soon.
I think for like the archetype that Pinball filled in of like the character you got to know and really enjoy who gets killed off to be like, shit's going down now.
Yeah.
Then like he filled the role well.
I honestly, this might sound crazy, but if you switch Ving Rhames' part and Dave Chappelle's part, I kind of want to see that too. Like maybe he dies off early and then the whole movie, Nicholas Cameron Poe is just convincing Joe to like, you know, turn on Cyrus.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
He's way more turnable than Ving was at that point.
Right.
And it would be interesting to see him like try and go from a not a supporting character, but like we're going with Cyrus's plan to him being like, maybe I should step up and like take this shit on my own.
It would have caused a lot more ruckus at the airport when they're trying to take off. So.
But the problem was he was too horny.
Yeah. See, I wanted him for a different switch. I felt like we never got enough of like Baby O's story at all. Like he was just kind of there.
Yeah, and Baby O was there to give Cameron a friend.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we could have scrapped the character and Pinball could have been expanded and it could have been turning Pinball and we have this like friend dynamic between Nicolas Cage and Pinball. It's maybe possible. He still dies at the end, but
yeah, that'd be dope though. We just need more Pinball.
Yeah.
Yeah. More Pinball. So the DEA sneaks the gun in his shoe. Nicolas Cage at one point admires a cage that Cyrus the Virus is in, and I just laughed at that because I was like, that's your name. We also meet Danny Trejo, Johnny 23. He has 23 counts of rape.
What a thing.
Of hearts for each one on his arm.
Yeah, that's rough, but like, bad man. And while they're getting on the plane, you know, they do big checks of like, what's on your tongue, pat down everything. And so they think the plane ride's going to go smooth. It takes off. But oh shit, Cyrus and Diamond Dog have hid pins inside their skin so they can unlock their handcuffs.
Do anyone else have a flashback memory to like being in elementary school, sticking the pins in between your skin? Is that just me?
Like the lead in the mechanical pins?
Like a needle, like the point needle and like going in between.
Like the,
never did that.
Just I was
like
never the kid who did it, but I
that can
know
get through the
I yeah, know the like kids you can go, yeah.
Sounds like you can go in between the skin and just kind of how they had it in between the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I remember that being a thing, like two kids sitting in the back of the class would be like, look what we can do. And I'd be like, I don't want this.
That was one of me. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was that kid.
And while they're unlocking their handcuffs, Pinball starts taking something out of his mouth and it's a match and a little thing of gas and he lights the guy next to him on fire.
It does.
Do you know how comfortable it would have been to walk around with that string with a bag at the end of your esophagus?
Terrible.
He had to do it for at least like an hour and then wait there like and then have this little piece of string hanging out of his mouth. Like, you know how irritating it is just to have like, I don't know.
And he had to pull that thing out without yarfing on himself.
Yeah. As he started pulling it, I was like, well, it's Dave Chappelle. He's a funny man. I expected him to do, like, the clown never-ending handkerchief thing. And I didn't think until he lit the guy next to him on fire.
No, I had no idea what it was going to be.
Yeah, I was just like, man, I mean, someone's got to go.
Someone's got to kick this off.
And yeah, Diamond kills one of the guards. It's absolute chaos. Shaky camera and strobe lights abound. Cyrus gets out. He shoots one of the pilots.
Yeah, man. You know what they say. Don't send a pilot to or a co-pilot to subdue the crowd because John Malkovich is going to shoot him in the dick.
Yeah, I was like, that co-pilot should have been like military. You know what I mean? He should have been Air Force or something. He shouldn't have just been like a pilot.
That would suck to be like, oh, where are you flying? I'm flying to Disney World today. Where are you flying, prisoners? I liked the lines of when John Malkovich was threatening to kill the regular pilot. The pilot's like, well, without me, you got no one to fly the plane. He's like, well, you're lucky I never think that far ahead.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's one of those situations as a pilot, you're like, well, he's either going to shoot me or I drive these prisoners and he shoots me. Either way, he's getting shot, so I guess I might as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this will end badly for me no matter what. And then Cyrus hijacks the communications and announces the title drop, Welcome to Con Air. And I do a little bit of applause in my chair, just like, cool.
Did Nick Cage say ugly all day yet? Because tears came out of my eyes. So I was laughing.
I think
so
he did,
hard.
Yeah. So at this point, the DEA agent gets up and grabs his gun and, you know, tries to kill Pinball, but Cyrus shoots him and kills him. And that's the end of Agent Sims.
I was kind of upset how he dealt with the situation, because it's like, you're a DEA agent and you were like terribly composured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Throughout that entire situation. Like, I don't know. I feel like you suck as a DEA agent.
And Cameron calls him out on it. He's like, you're not doing any of this right, man.
Yeah. He tried to warn him. He's like, yeah, you're not in control.
Six men were supposed to get off of the plane in Carson City, but three of them got shot, so they need three replacements. They have to be six white dudes. And because Baby-O needs his insulin, because he's diabetic, and he volunteers, but he can't go. Cameron is about to go, but then he changes his mind when he discovers the DEA agent was wearing a wire, and this could be his ticket out. Also, Carson said he's having a sandstorm, and I thought of the song Darude Sandstorm, which made me laugh.
I thought it was pretty wild also that John Malkovich's whole face is uncovered. And all those guys dressed as the cops are down on the ground, just face out, and nobody notices, like, the most notorious criminals in the land.
True, they made, like, mm-hmm. I mean, the sandstorm was strong, but I don't think it was that strong.
Right.
He was, like, in his face. Like.
Yeah. Might have just been in there for a while, grown a little weird facial hair, lost some weight, and it's just like, you kind of look like that guy, but I bet you're not. And they were too busy getting everyone hyped up for Garland Green, the Marietta Mangler, Steve Buscemi.
Loves his character.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah. Do you guys think by the end of the movie, his character had rehabilitated? Or do you think he just got out? Because I was just like, he didn't harm the girl. And I was like, cool. And then next time we saw him, he just seemed like he was like, was at peace almost. But yeah. He also lost it and crazy. So it's like hard to tell.
Yeah, I thought that was like a, like, I don't think it was, when they had the final shot of him, I didn't take it as a happy ending. I was like, oh boy, he's out there now.
See,
if that's the case, he would have, the girl's still alive, you know what I mean? He would have hurt
right.
the girl.
Yeah, it's back and forth.
I almost think that he was rehabilitated by the time we met him.
That's what I'm saying, because he was so calm. Like, I think he was just like, I got it. Like, that was bad. I shouldn't do that anymore. He was breaking down all of the prisoners every time they had a outburst with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything he said was like, yeah, kind of. You know, you're not saying anything that's out there.
And the song, Got the Whole World in My Hands, like, that was just his way of coping. He was like, he just was living in the last happy moment he had, like, the last normal moment he had. Because that little girl didn't know he was crazy. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that interaction was like the first time anyone ever treated him like a human being since he's been in.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of saying things that aren't so crazy, Nicolas Cage says something crazy when he hears about Garland Green and just says, oh, Christ in a cartoon.
Yeah, he does. He's got some lines in this movie.
True.
Yeah, I have a theory about why, but we'll get to that later. Meanwhile, in Cyrus's cell, they discover all of the plans, and Vince is trying to crack a code to figure out what's happening, where they're going, how did they do this, and until one of the guards, sorry, what?
Well, this was another place where I thought that we were leading to something Spanish, because they find a letter.
There's this whole plot line that just got dropped.
Right.
For no reason. Like, it's like halfway through the movie, they were like, what about this? And we're like, we're just going to write it out. And I'm like,
yeah. What?
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, these codes are going to be super important. So, like, no one touch anything. And one of the guards is like, I'm going to open the box that says do not open. And it's a bomb.
Yeah. And like, these secret agents
are not good.
No.
And it's a good thing that that cell door was a cartoon, because otherwise it would have killed John Cusack. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The more we're talking about this, if you just picture this movie animated like The Incredibles, like, this is totally a Disney movie.
That'd be pretty rad.
Like, the more we're talking about it, I'm like, yo, this is dead-ass Disney movie. It's just got a little more oomph to it.
Cartoon Con Air, I'd see it. Apparently, John Cusack hates this film. He refuses to be interviewed about it.
I wonder why. He's done objectively worse movies.
It's goofy, and he's probably mad because he gave a pretty good performance. Like, you ever, like, really try and do something, and at the end you're like, this still sucks. Like, there's nothing I could have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a cult movie. Like, when I hear this movie, like I said, when I first heard we were doing this, I smiled. So I was like, I'm really excited to watch this movie again because I knew how goofy it could be. Just like, you know, The Rat Race. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's another one of those movies where it's like, it's kind of bad, but it's really good. But
a guard in Carson City breaks the DEA's tape that's planted on one of the guys that are leaving, but they discover something's up, which is weird. Pinball puts the transponder of the jailbird onto a tiny tour plane.
Yeah.
And ends up getting left behind because he's flirting.
While they're in Carson City, they pick up some more criminals.
Yes.
And one of them is flying the plane. He's the one who does the...
Yes.
Mess with the transponder.
His name is Swamp Thing.
Yeah. Mr. Friendly from Lost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Somebody at some point says this situation needs to be unfucked right now. And I just liked that.
I also thought for a while that they were going to blow up that small plane where the transponder went. Like,
I thought that was a bomb too.
That the
poor family's about to get blown up.
Yeah.
Like, here's the ocean, and that's a military chopper.
Oh, shit!
Diamond Dog has mentioned something about plotting a coup on Cyrus when they get to where they're going, which is an island, like a lawless island is what they're looking for. But he's getting excited for the Day of the Dog.
Yeah, he is. I want to know more about Diamond Dog's crimes that got him here, because I think he also might not be the bad guy.
Well, yeah, he was a leader of essentially the Black Panthers, but I think they called it the Black Gorillas or something. What was the group called?
I don't know. He blew up an NRA meeting, but they were, like, writing a book about it.
Yeah,
there was, like, some philosophy behind it. I know this is a movie about explosions on a plane, but...
Yeah, he was a general in a military group known as the Black Gorillas. Gorilla spelled like guerrilla style warfare, like the GUER.
I thought you were going to say gorillas like the band.
No. Very different. he was found guilty of blowing up a meeting of NRA members, claiming they represented the basest negativity of the white race. And he wrote a book about it. Apparently, the book... the New York Times person called a wake-up call to the Black community and attracted the attention of Hollywood. Denzel is going to play the lead.
Hmm.
Thank you, Con Air Fandom Wiki.
That's crazy.
Everything has a wiki. We don't yet, but...
Neither do I. I can't wait till I get a wiki.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So Vince thinks Cameron can be his man on the inside. And the DEA agent, not Agent Sims, the different agent, I forget his name.
The one with the Corvette, with the license plate.
He's got a fancy car, he's a big asshole.
I really thought, it says ass kicker, I didn't notice till the end. Like, for the first bunch of times we saw the Corvette, I didn't see it close enough, and I thought it said ass killer.
I thought it said ass kisser at first. And I was like, why are you bragging about that? Agent Malloy is his name. They're sending attack helicopters to follow the transponder, but it's the tour plane. And then something's up with the landing gear. Pinball's crushed inside the landing gear. So Cameron,
yeah,
rest in peace. Cameron sends a warning to Vincent by writing on Pinball's shirt and pushing him out the landing gear. Which, if you're falling from a plane, I feel like you wouldn't be able to read a message on his shirt. He would just explode into goo.
Well, the shirt isn't gonna like evaporate on impact. Like his body will, yeah, but no matter what, the shirt will be there.
Good point. Yeah.
And I think he felt such an altitude that he was just like kind of frozen a little bit.
Right.
Good point. Actually,
and he fell really hard. So he was, yeah, like, he's up there.
He didn't flip at all.
No, he just... No,
it was a solid, like... Dunk.
It was like an air conditioner landing on the car, and there's a big car accident.
Yeah. He hits the car, and nobody's around, and then four cars come out of nowhere and T-bone him at once.
Because no one pays attention when they drive. It's 97. Yep. Everyone's just like, it's green. Yeah. Let's go.
Vince Larkin finds out that they're going to Lerner Airfield to get off the Jailbird and get a new plane. And he needs to get there in 50 minutes. And I checked the timestamp. There's 54 minutes left in the movie. I love when that lines up like that.
Oh, that's dope.
This is the one point where Billy is looking through Cameron's stuff because he's getting a little suspicious of him. And he finds his parole notice and the rabbit. And this is when you get the iconic put the bunny back in the box.
Even though I know he had the sticker on his box to be like, this is your box. No one saw anyone put that sticker on his box. So how did he know, like, this is probably his box?
I mean, they're criminals. They were probably just rifling through everybody's stuff.
He was the only one down there. He went down there looking for stuff.
But I mean, and they showed the shot before, showed the box with the smiley face. And I was like, oh, that's how you're going to figure out it's his box. But it's like, other than that, how are you going to know it's his box?
Probably just, like, go to one box, look at one thing, and be like, all right, that doesn't have his name on it.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He might have just been rifling through stuff, but it was pretty clean down there. Maybe he just got lucky. It was the first one he opened.
Yeah, right?
This is a box in the middle of the floor with a beam of light.
It's that Disney magic.
Yeah. Also, his teeth are kernels of corn. Billy?
They're bad teeth.
And I didn't notice it, like... I'm sure that he had the same teeth the whole time, but I did not notice until they were fighting.
Did they show his teeth when they fought? Those cuts in that fight, I was like,
eh. Yeah, it's... They maybe fight. It's a stunt, it's a jittery, you know, shaky cam, cool for the late 90s, early 2000s fight.
Pose the Terminator. Like, this dude is like the craziest martial artist, takes bullets like nothing, like crazy aim, like...
Upper body strength. Insane.
I mean,
like when he killed the dude in the beginning, it looked like he was like, oh damn it, I did it again. Like, he just can't help but just hurt people.
Done goofed.
Yeah, he's the type of dude that if he had to drink a glass of water, he would just break it in his hands.
Cameron kills Billy, and Vince ends up making it to the Lerner Airfield where the plane is going to land. Someone at the Lerner Tower Control has been recently killed, so they've got some setup. What?
Was it those guys in the plane? The other plane?
It was the South American drug guys, yeah.
Okay.
Because the South American drug guys are the ones who are providing the other plane for all of them. I think they won.
Why the double cross? That was another movie thing I couldn't figure out. Like that's, I feel like that was a point where they were like, yeah, we're not going with the plotline anymore.
I think it's,
it was so weird.
Yeah, I think they wrote the South American characters thing as a setup, and then when they got to that point in the script, they're like, we don't have anything for them to do. Crisscross.
But
it'll be another scene of Nick Cage just kicking ass.
Yeah, right.
We could have got, like, on the beaches.
It could have been, very interesting. They have a little trouble landing, though. To say the least. Everything is crashing and blowing up.
He's surprised that plane got so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It crashes a lot.
That guy is a pretty solid pilot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Straight out of, like, being an inmate with no warm-up time.
Yeah.
could have been in there for like 30 years, came out. Yeah,
he hops on long enough to hotwire the plane and then fly it.
And then just go. But he knows.
Two crash landings. In
successful vaguely crash landings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have one.
Right. Yeah, no one dies. They stop very short of the propane tank.
Hank, he'll be damned.
He almost crashes into a small plane, but that plane gets out of the way, and this guy starts running forward, screaming, "Hey, you sons of bitches!" And then he sees everyone, and he runs the other way.
They could have took that plane, too.
Yeah.
If they thought if they really thought that the plane backfired, they could have been like, all right, let's just go take this other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they could have fit, like, four people in there, and that was pretty much the head of the crew anyway.
Yeah, not all of us can make it, but let's go.
That was another plane I thought that was going to get smashed that didn't get smashed.
Mm. And it could have. Like, that big plane probably wouldn't have felt it at all. It would have been like a Hummer hitting, like, a little V-bug.
Yeah, it would have slowed it down a little bit, but that would have just been better. It would have gotten it. It wouldn't have dug it into the ground as much. Baby-O is now going into shock because he needs his insulin, which he has, but he doesn't have a needle for it.
I thought... One thing I did like about this movie was that all the characters had, like, one big thing about them. And throughout the movie, it kept calling back to that center. No matter if it was what they were in jail for, what they stand by, or something that they needed to have. So I feel like, what's the character's name that you just mentioned?
Baby-O.
Baby-O, yeah. Like, he really needed the insulin. Through the whole movie, from beginning to end, it was like, I need my insulin. Or, you know... Or else I'm gonna die. It never was about how long his sentence was. It was never about what he got in there for. Need to see his wife and kids, whatever. It was like, I just need my insulin, which I thought was interesting at the end, which after he got his insulin, he risked his life. Because it was like his character was met with his goal. Now it can do what it might need it to do.
He could have been getting out too. That could have been a change. Like, he didn't have to be going to another prison. Like, it could have also been his parole date.
I don't think we ever learned what he did.
No.
We never learned what he did because it didn't matter for his character. It was just get to his insulin. But I think because he had a longer sentence, it was easy for him to sacrifice himself so that Nicolas Cage can get home to his kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So everyone's trying to get the plane out and get everything ready to go. At one point,
Fight, fuck, or flee.
Yeah, it's time to fight, fuck, or flee.
And I want to know, what's the fuck option here?
Fuck. At one point, Nick Cage is like questioning what they're gonna do next, and the way he says, like, "Hey, I see this is how you're doing this, but I would do something differently," is something along the lines of, "Cyrus, I understand this is your barbecue, and it does taste real good."
Which he does say that.
It was just an, okay, sure. They're trying to fix everything. Steve Buscemi got out, and he sees a little girl in a trailer park. They're playing with their dolls, and he mentions that he's sick. That
was
sick.
Really eerie in the movie. I was worried, because that was the first point where we all were like, oh, this is going to be bad. He's out. Mm-hmm. And you get the real hint that, like, oh, maybe he's different now.
Yeah, there are a couple, like, weird wide-angle shots of the girl where it's, like, his psyche, and it's like, I don't know.
I was worried.
I was like, oh, this could easily just be another doll, because he picks one up and moves it from the table. Mm-hmm. There were no parents around. I was like, he could just be talking to another doll and thinks it's a little girl.
Maybe he was.
No, we see the girl.
Yeah, but we see the girl, and he sees the girl. Nobody else around sees the girl, you know?
We see the girl independent of him being there, though.
If she is a figment of his imagination, then at the end of the movie, he's still crazy. He's just going to be rich now, murdering people. But if she's real, then he's rehabilitated.
Well, if she's not real, maybe she could be. She's a manifestation of, like, him figuring something out with his psyche.
Okay.
I guess, but she's in a scene all her own without him in it.
But without anyone else in it either.
So she's real.
We never saw, like, another parent or anything. So it could still be... It could be a closure on his psyche. It's like, it could be a wonky way of, like, it's still off screen technically. You know what I mean? Because his whole action as a character is off screen compared to all the other characters in the movie. So we can just assume everything that happens off screen could have been in his own head.
I guess. But now it's just, okay, so at the end, he still stole the kid's doll. He just walked into someone's backyard and stole the doll.
It's been a trashed like playground.
It's also, there's nobody else in this whole area. This airstrip is abandoned.
Off the ground.
Yeah.
It's, I think he said, 49 miles from any kind of authority. But that doesn't count trailer parks? I don't know.
You tell me out there, it's just the old man underneath his truck and this kid?
Or no, maybe just the old man underneath his truck.
I think it was just the old man. Like, I mean, now I'm starting to think this kid didn't exist.
See, I'd believe the old man didn't exist more than the kid didn't.
No, man, because he's got to pee.
Yeah, he's got to pee. I thought that line was really funny. I was like, I could relate to that. But you could just kind of turn to the side and let it out real quick. It's going to stink, but like, at least you'll be relieved.
So the feds are coming. This is when we find out that the Colombian South American drug family is going to betray them.
Oh, that's who they were.
Yeah.
I just thought they were other guys. No, that's plane. They were part of the plan.
That's who Cyrus was working for.
The only way I can see it happening is like at the top, the head planner was like, this is how we're going to get my nephew out of jail. We're going to lie to these other people and let them think they're getting out of jail. And then they're going to go rescue my nephew type thing. Because it seemed like he knew when he got there, they were supposed to take off. So maybe it was.
Yeah.
It was only just to get him out of jail.
Right. The new plan is they're going to refuel the jailbird instead of get that plane. At one point, one of them has the gun trained on, I forget who it is. I believe it's Cameron. And he says, if you fire that weapon, 20 pissed off prisoners are going to hear it. So then the guy puts his silencer on and Cameron screams, oh, the sweet sound of silence.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one-liners in this movie were definitely something to write home about.
It made me laugh. Cameron refuses to leave Baby O behind. Cyrus burns up all of the men.
So he trusts the two men that he trusts. One of them is himself and the other one is Baby O. And then the third one is John Cusack later. Like, that's the progression of that.
I took it as him, God. It was only him and God at first.
I also took it as God.
Okay.
Yeah, because when Baby O's dying, he was like, oh, there is no God, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm going to show you that there's a God. So I think he has a strong faith throughout the whole movie. It's like very subtle, but it's there.
All right.
Get our cool guys don't look at explosions moment. And
I like the military. That he goes immediately from running from the explosion and hides under the gas tank of a truck. With that guy.
He knew that the guy was under there. Under there.
The pee would keep them nice. Nice and cool.
Yeah. So the military's come to stop them, but it's a big explodey shooting trap.
Yeah.
For a bunch of prisoners, like, that attack was crazy. Like, it was no, like, everyone hit their beat. There were no mishaps. Like, fully trained officers mess up.
Yeah.
Military ops go crazy all the time, and these bunch of prisoners, like, A1 this first try.
I mean, Cyrus is brilliant. He's been working on this probably for a while.
Yeah. I also think it's pretty crazy that all of that propane is there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they just had everything they needed. Like, we need 40 tanks of propane. Where are we going to get it?
It's a, like, it's a plane yard, so they got to have it for refueling.
But did you think that the plane yard was in operation? I felt like it was abandoned because they got the boneyard there, too.
No, there was some operation. There was the guy flying in trying to talk to the tower. Like, it's not super well populated, but it's enough.
On a regular day, there should have been three people there. The guy with the truck, the tower, and then the guy with the plane that flies in and out, probably for like local deliveries or something.
And depending on what you believe, the little girl.
Yeah, and like the little girl, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think she's really there because there was no one else out there.
I'm in it. I say she's not real.
I like her being real because that helps the Steve Buscemi's character arc a little more, but at least for me personally.
But like, sometimes, I'm trying to think of like there's other movies where
I can see it being like when you have a moment alone and you really have to be real with yourself, like, okay, what am I gonna do? Like, I'm free. Am I gonna be this monster people want me to be? Blah blah blah. And like, that could be his way of, because like, he is crazy, so that's his way of like talking through to himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While all this is happening, Johnny 23 is finally going to, in his words, become Johnny 24 and rape the guard Bishop. There's been a female guard on this plane the whole time. Her name's Bishop.
What a, like, this is probably your easiest bet of like, we just want someone to just be like a cartoon evil villain. Like, we want to set someone up.
Yeah. We want all these guys to be, like, smart and have characters, but one has to be a piece of shit.
And we want everybody to notice that he's a piece of shit and everyone to react that way. We want you as an audience to go, yeah, that's a piece of shit.
The kick she gave him in the chest, though, was nice after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After they caught him.
But Baby O uses the assumed last ounces of his strength to try and stop him. But Cameron comes in, gives Baby O the insulin, saves the day, starts beating up Johnny 23. Don't treat women like that.
Yeah. Beating his head against the fence.
Steve Buscemi comes back. The plane is trying to take off, but it's tied to stuff mysteriously. Who did that? It was Cameron.
That was genius.
Yeah. It ends up getting tied to Agent Malloy's fancy car, so it flies behind it. That's just a funny visual.
For, like, the briefest moment, I thought that Cameron and Baby O and the lady guard were going to climb down into the Corvette.
Yeah, for some, I was
and
like,
drop it.
Just let him get away.
The Corvette. The Corvette has parachutes, right?
Yeah, it's a James
Bond. It's a big pile of sand.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
So the plane takes off. Diamond Dog has found out about Cameron and how he's a free man and what he's done, how he killed Billy. But Baby O tries to take the blame and gets shot. And, you know, there's fights, there's all that stuff, and they end up crash landing in Vegas.
Yeah, like a spectacular crash landing that I'm assuming didn't hurt anybody, right? Yeah. Or were there, like, millions of deaths? Because that landing was insane.
I mean, the one hotel was about to be demolished. So the production crew was like, all right.
Oh, cool.
We gotta get footage of this hotel getting demolished and, like, use that.
That's really cool, actually.
I think everything was okay except for one of the, like, effects guys got crushed by a fake plane.
Oh, like a real person working
on
the movie.
Oh, like in real life? I was talking about, like, the movie.
Oh, no, in the movie?
Like, the actual.
Oh, whoops. I don't know. IMDb trivia has one trivia fact that just says body count 43. Wow. So maybe 43
that
people
is a
died.
High body count for a production on a movie.
Oh, no. Well, in the movie itself, I think it's 43. I think in the production, it was the
See,
one
now
guy.
Now we keep mixing it up. I'm like,
yeah, no, my bad. Like,
I do know, though, if an actor, stunt actor gets hurt or killed in a shot, the movie has to use that shot in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So
we watched it happen.
Yeah, we watched it. Like, there's a Tom Cruise movie where he, like, jumps off a building and, like, he lands on another building and he starts running, but it looks weird because he, like, snaps his ankle.
Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah, that one.
You but watch his ankle shot, just
get snapped.
Oh, that seems so good.
Yikes.
Hey, the man's crazy, but he's dedicated.
I mean, you might as well use the shot. Like, it cost me my ankle, you know? Use the shot.
Yeah, if I'm still acting through it, then, like, come on. So, yeah, Vegas, big crash. And there's one final chase on a fire truck and police motorcycles to get Cyrus and Diamond and everyone else.
Nick Cage was cut up.
Yeah.
He's the Terminator, bro. I told you the whole movie. Nothing. Every time, it was like the Terminator of justice. He would be like, I'm going to go see my family. Oh, no. I have to stop this injustice. Finish. Let me go see my family. Another injustice. Like, he couldn't stop it. Like, he just had to go help everybody.
Oh, it was Phil Swartz was a special effects guy who died during filming when a rigged plane fell and crushed him.
Rip.
Yeah, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
You know, there's good old-fashioned fire truck and power line shenanigans.
The hose, man.
Using the hose to either shoot him off the motorcycle or flood the inside.
I had that same thought. I was like, these are all great moves. These are A1 moves. I would do the exact same thing.
Yeah. No, I think fire hoses. Water
comes out powerful. Like all of those motorcyclists look like they got hit like by a wall.
Fire hoses so good. Need to be used in more action movies.
Absolutely.
Also, filling up the cab of the fire truck with water, that was like something out of the Pink Panther, man.
Yeah.
Good move, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you're either going to stop the truck or you drown. Like, pick one.
But now nobody's stopping the truck.
Yeah no, because you drowned.
All kinds of wild shenanigans. Everything's going nuts in this tunnel.
The pile driver to the face.
And then, Cyrus flies out, ends up going into, like, a rock-crushing quarry or whatever, and gets just pile-drived in the face. Cyrus goes
through a building. Lands on electrical wire.
Right. Which means the electric chair probably wouldn't have did it for him. He probably could have did like two or three electric chairs.
Yeah, the electric chair would have given him more power.
Yeah. You know what? I just figured it out. Right? Nicolas Cage, Poe is Superman. And Cyrus is just Lex Luthor.
He's bald.
That's it.
Yeah. And Nick Cage was supposed to play Superman.
Lois Lane
is his wife. You know what I'm saying?
Jimmy Olsen is his daughter.
Exactly. It's all lining up. Supergirl.
Why wasn't he Superman? Was it just he was one of the casting choices or it
fell through? He was. The thing was, he was cast in a movie called Superman Lives, and it was supposed to be directed by Tim Burton because Tim Burton did so well with Batman at the time. And it fell apart because they couldn't get like the right writers on it. They tried to get Kevin Smith to write it. It was going to be super expensive. It was going to be a Death of Superman story, I think.
I really want to see that script 100% because that movie sounds amazing.
There's a documentary about it, The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened, a couple of years old, I think. And one of the big things was there was a producer that worked at Warner Brothers. I think it was David Silver. Hello, this is Connor from the future telling you that I was wrong about a couple of things in this little Connor Tells Hollywood Stories That He Heard From Other Podcasts segment, I guess you could call it. So I just referenced Dave Silver. I was thinking of producer Joel Silver, who did not do either of the stories that I'm about to tell. That's actually producer John Peters, who's, pretty infamous for, I think he started out as Barbara Streisand's hairdresser and then just became mega producer. Yeah, he started out as Barbara Streisand's hairdresser and then just worked his way up, which I think is, I think that's cool. Good for him. But yeah. So just when listening forward, Joel Silver, not Dave Silver, and actually John Peters, not Joel Silver. All right, enjoy the rest of the episode. He tried every time someone was like, here's the Superman script, he's like, he's got to fight a robot spider. They were like, that's not in the comics. He's like, I know, but like, I don't care that he's fighting Brainiac. Brainiac has to have a robot spider. And every time someone would present him with the script, he'd be like, robot spider, give me a robot spider. I want a robot spider.
Are you serious?
And he got his wish. Will Smith, Wild Wild West, has that big robot spider in it.
Was Kevin Smith on a podcast talking about this?
I mean, Kevin Smith has a ton of his own podcasts, so yeah, he's talked about it.
I don't know, that story just sounded familiar.
I want a giant spider. But you know what, that's so dope too, though. As like an artist, be like, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. I don't care, just trust me.
Yeah, he has his money. I think this is also a guy who wanted aliens to be in one of George Miller's movies, and then just like George Miller was like, no, this doesn't make sense. So one day he just bought a guy in an alien suit to the set, and he's like, he's got to be in the movie right now.
What movie was that?
I forget. It was something that had nothing to do with aliens. It was like The Witches of Eastwick or something.
That sounds great.
But so Cameron finally reunites with Casey and meets with Trisha and meets his daughter Casey for the first time. did we mention he had a daughter that was born 3 months after he went to jail and he never met her, but they sent letters back and forth and today was her birthday?
Because we didn't mention the birthday, but we did mention the girl.
Because that's a big part of it.
Can you imagine meeting your dad for the first time like this? You're 7 or 8 years old.
Definitely sucks, but the way the wife probably talked to her about her father made it as like this isn't a bad thing. Like jail for your father is different than jail for other people.
Yeah. Well, but also the
fact this is the Terminator.
Also the fact like Terminator. Las Vegas is destroyed. There is a plane in the streets. There's just like a ton of crashed vehicles everywhere, and then he's just like, here's your bunny. Do you like bunnies? And it's like, what?
He really wanted to give her that commissary bunny.
That was his main objective. He was like, get to my daughter. There was no injustice to solve at that point. Yeah. Was like, everything was handled. He was like, scanning. All right,
I do love how at one point even Cyrus threatens the bunny. Like, he puts a gun up to the bunny's head.
I honestly think Poe would have lost it.
Yeah.
The bunny, no. He would have lost it mentally. Like, he would have.
He would have just shoved Cyrus out the window and been like, you're done.
He was hanging by a thread.
But we have our happy ending. That's Con Air.
Yeah. That's we get the Trisha Yearwood song comes back in.
Yeah.
Soundtrack was great, by the way. Through all the action, I felt like the music kept up with the pace. Like, definitely kept me locked in.
Well, that leads us
before, but definitely felt refreshing to revisit.
Yeah. That leads us right into our criteria, which we do every week to compare this movie to The Pacifier. First thing is, how's the soundtrack?
Good. Sorry. I jumped the gun. No, I enjoyed it a lot. It was dope. Like I said, I kept up with the pace. Very action hero-y, but very drama at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the picks of specific songs, like that Trisha Yearwood song, it wouldn't have been the first one that came to mind, but it works so well.
It wasn't Trisha Yearwood, never mind. The song How Do I Live that they played a few times? Yeah. Okay, that is her. That was nominated for Best Original Song at the Oscars. It was written for this movie.
Oh.
No way!
Yeah. It was also nominated for Worst Original Song at the Razzies.
All right, well, the Razzies are wrong there.
The Razzies suck anyway, but this was also nominated for Best Sound at the Oscars.
Like the Leonard Skinner joke from Steve Buscemi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they play Aces. Sweet Home Alabama, and he's like, we're in a plane, and they all died in a plane. I think it's a good soundtrack. I think it's well-suited. There are a few times when the score gets really weird. When they first introduce Steve Buscemi, like, it's just noises, and I was very interested in that and like wanted to go back.
Yeah, they pushed hard. They just wanted to let us know that he was dangerous, insane, crazy, don't mess with them, just so they could probably flip his character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where does the main actor land on the Dieselometer, which is a continuing scale of Vin Diesel performances, mostly based on charm and ability? I assume for everyone the lead actor in this was Nicolas Cage as Cameron Poe.
Yes.
Yeah. I gotta say, it's gotta be Furious 6, man. You got two big plane crashes, you have families right at the forefront, and 6 was the first time they had, like, well, I guess 4, kinda. But, like, Owen was the first, like, big brain villain that, like, was one step ahead of them and had all these crazy villain schemes.
Right.
Me, maybe, like, on some Groot. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Because, like, he was lean, but he was also jacked. And then when he needed to, nothing could faze him.
That's good.
And at the end of it, he was just, I'm Groot. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just...
We need a sequel to Terminator Salvation that Vin Diesel is in, so...
So you're just ignoring the other... You're just ignoring Genesis?
Was Genesis after Salvation?
Yeah, Salvation was 4.
Ah, okay. I'm lost on the numbers. Haven't seen any past 3.
Yeah, because Terminator was 1, 2, 3. Well, 1, 2, 2, 3D in Universal Studios. 3, and then Salvation, Genesis, and Dark Fate was 2 years ago? Last year?
Dark Fate wasn't that bad. I really enjoyed Dark Fate.
The only thing I remember about Dark Fate was, well, two things. One, that was one of the first trailers I saw in a 4DX theater when, like, the seats move around, so, like, it was, like, a little ride. But second, in the trailer, she punches the Terminator and it makes the most, like, cartoon goop sound effect that I've ever heard, and I just, every time, I couldn't stop laughing at it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
But anyway, Dieselometer, I also said Dom Toretto. He's a weird dude who's all about family. Next up, did I like this as a kid, or would I have liked it as a kid?
I did like it as a kid, growing up. Like I said, it was one of those movies my dad always put on, so I just had to watch it.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
I said as a kid, like a young kid, I don't think I would have. But if you put, like, from 11 and up, I would have been like, oh, this is dope. All
right.
What has the director gone on to do? So this was directed by Simon West. This was his first feature film. After this, he did The General's Daughter with John Travolta, the first Lara Croft Tomb Raider movie, the remake of When a Stranger Calls, The Mechanic, The Expendables 2, stuff like that. He's still working. But there's one thing that he did that a ton of people have seen that kind of pops up endlessly, whether you like it or not. He was the director of the Never Gonna Give You Up music video.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
Why does that make sense? That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, you get that vibe from this.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Never Gonna Give You Up compared to Con Air, 100%.
Well, he's never going to give up his family or fighting for his friends.
He's never going to give up his wife. He's never going to let his daughter down. He's never going to run around and desert Baby-O.
Or justice.
Yeah.
Or justice.
It fits. Is there anything in this film that is as memorable as the Peter Panda dance from The Pacifier?
That plane landing in Vegas.
The plane landing in Vegas is definitely probably the centerpiece of the crashes.
Yeah. All right. For me personally, it was put the bunny back in the box.
See that line? I kept thinking, what's in the box?
Yeah.
Every time he's like, put the bunny back in the box, I was like, well, what's in the box?
It's the bunny.
And snowballs.
Who is the Brad Garrett / Carol Kane wacky, crazy, memorable side character in this film?
There's a lot. I feel like this movie didn't just have one. They all play. It was like a what's the word I'm looking for? Ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the movie was. It was like the main character is Poe, and everyone else was ensemble.
Yeah,
that's fair.
But if I had to name one, I think I'm gonna give my vote to Dave Chappelle, just because like I wanted more of his character. Pinball.
All right,
definitely.
That's what I had too.
Short-lived.
I struggled when, because of the ensemble thing, I was like, who's like a side character? And I said Agent Morris, the guy with the cool car who's an asshole to John Cusack and like wants to shoot the plane down constantly.
He was almost like a second villain to me. Like a like
another secondary antagonist.
Yeah.
So if 43 people died in the crash landing in Vegas,
it didn't.
Should they have shot down the plane over the desert?
I mean, he does. John Cusack does turn to Nicolas Cage at one point. He's like, maybe he should have shot it down. So, I mean, possibly. Also, apparently Matthew Broderick was like really heavily considered for that role. Robert Downey Jr., Charlie Sheen, and Matthew Broderick.
Charlie Sheen would have not have done that role well. Not like he wouldn't have done it well. I'll take that back, Charlie, if you're listening. It just wouldn't have been. I wouldn't have liked the Marshall that much.
He would have made it too cool, and you can't have like a super cool dude for that character.
Yeah,
you got to have like tie all the way up, straight laced, who becomes not. And last but not least, is there anything as batshit insane in this film as the Sound of Music subplot from The Pacifier, which, in case you don't remember, It is a subplot that is introduced about halfway through the movie. It's about two scenes long. One day, Vin Diesel is called into school, and it's discovered that Shane, one of the boys he's watching, has bleached his hair and has a Nazi armband in his locker. So naturally, everyone believes he's a Nazi. And instead of saying, "No, I'm not," and offering an explanation, he just runs away. The next day, Vin Diesel gets on a children's bike and follows him to what he believes is a Nazi rally, but it turns out it's just a community theater production of The Sound of Music, where Seth is playing Rolf and he's got a 40-year-old Liesel, and Vin Diesel ends up directing that production. Anything?
Crazier than that?
or as crazy.
I think maybe the flying car scene when the plane's dragging the car. I think that's probably the closest.
I'm stuck on the rabbit. The fact that his whole motivation was this commissary rabbit and that he was so invested in it that at the end he grabbed it out of the sewer.
It's not just a regular rabbit, not a dollar store rabbit. Daughter's. It's a commissary rabbit.
Yeah.
It's a jailhouse rabbit.
You get that good joke in the beginning of like, what did he say? It was either this or like a pack of Pall Malls.
Yeah. For me, it was, and this goes back to his one-liner thing, about halfway through the movie, I developed a small theory that Cameron Poe knows he's in an action movie. The way he talks, the way all of his plans are like, I don't know what this is, but it's definitely going to work. He is fully aware he is the main character in a Jerry Bruckheimer production.
I can see that, but he's also so confident in the choices that he makes. Like, to him, everything should just make sense. But it seems like the people or situations around him are absurd. It's like the more absurd he seems, or the more absurd it seems like he's being, the more calm he's being. Like, he's like, I'm just going to wait in jail for 7 years, I'm gonna go see my daughter's gonna be okay. But then all of a sudden he ends up on his plane, then the plane's getting taken over, and he's just like, I just thought I was gonna see my daughter, I don't need all this extra. And then there's this cop shooting at everybody, and he's like, bro, you don't need to shoot. Like, the whole movie he's just like, can everyone just wait like 3 hours so I can get to see my daughter?
Yeah. And do you guys have a ranking and a rating compared to The Pacifier?
I gave it 10 new skills learned over your time in prison. And this one pulls ahead of The Pacifier for me.
All right.
I still agree.
I gave it 3.5 old men hiding under a truck out of 6. It didn't hit the same as The Pacifier. I had more fun with The Pacifier. This had pacing issues. I felt like it was a lot longer than it was for me. I don't know, but like, I enjoyed it still. I thought there was a lot of fun stuff in it. It just kept going.
No, definitely, like I said, movie hits home. Definitely love it. Action's great. The pacing is definitely long, but I think that's part of the point of the movie, of these wacky type movies. They just keep, like, the plane landed, we're like, oh, the movie's over. Now we have a little bit extra with the truck scene and everything. So I think it's one of those movies that always has to go over the top. So,
all right. I respect that. And that is our discussion on Con Air. And now our guest, Coke Short, has the movie that we're going to watch next week, and he's going to give us some hints so we can try to figure it out. It's time to play the coming attractions game.
All right, cool. I don't know if you guys are going to be able to guess it, but how many guesses or questions do I have?
Keep going until we give up.
So, okay. The movie is about people in a room. I don't know if you guys want to guess after every time I say a clue, or if you want me to say a bunch and then you guys try and guess.
Okay.
Which one do you guys prefer?
Just start saying them and we'll jump in.
But a movie about people in a room. They got to take a test. Their lives depend on this test.
Oh, is it called like The Exam or something?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, I watched this in college for something. I remember it being super weird.
The Exam so is fast. It's one of my movies up top. Yeah, I'm really surprised you got it that quick. Not a lot of people have seen this movie.
Yeah, it was like a thing from 2009.
Yeah.
It's like a psychological thriller. I definitely remember just finding this somewhere and having to watch it for an assignment.
Last time I saw it was on Netflix, but we're talking like when I was in high school, so it's probably not on there anymore.
Yeah, I think it's available to rent on Amazon Prime for like $4. I remember it being all right. But cool. All right, so we're going
to... I'm excited.
Yeah, we're going to be watching The Exam next week with another very special guest. Thank you for that.
No problem. Yeah, thank you.
The second you said it's a bunch of people in a room, I'm like, is it that weird test movie? I bet it's not. And thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me on. Yeah, no, this is super dope. Yeah, I love movies, acting, all that stuff. So,
you got anything you want to plug? Social medias, where can people find you?
So, follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Cook Short, COOKSHORT, one word. Follow me on YouTube. Going to be uploading a lot more on there. I have a movie trailer of my own dropping soon for a movie that I made. I have more music coming out. I just dropped an album in December of 2020. IWRS, go to iTunes, which recently just got uploaded onto Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, all that good stuff. Come check out the music.
Awesome.
Right on.
And as always, you can follow us anywhere at No Highway Pod, YouTube, No Highway Option. And be sure to, tell your friends about us, subscribe on your podcast provider of choice, leave us a review on Apple Music, because that really helps us out. And Luke, you want to chicken?
It's chicken time. Kushar, you might know about this one. We are in search of something. It's not an escaping plane. It's a recipe. We're looking to get in touch with the old owners of the Rafters Bar and Grill in Amherst, Massachusetts. We are looking for the recipe to their old Yukon Gold chicken wings. The restaurant has since closed, but the flavor is not gone from our hearts.
The flavor is nowhere near my heart. I've never been to this place. This is just a thing that Luke started and then started saying we. You can call our Highway Patrol tip line at 301-941-7493. I didn't even have to look that time. Or 301-941-SIZE to, if you want to leave a message about where we can find the chicken stuff. If you want to recommend a movie, request a movie, give your thoughts on, have you seen Con Air? What do you think about it? Yeah. Whatever you want. Call in. We'll play it on the show.
And if you do call, there's no person on the other line. There's no one who can answer, so it doesn't do any good if you call and hang up. You gotta leave a message.
Yeah, Google Voice asks you to state your name at the beginning. You'll hear a scary robot, but then once you say your name, you'll hear me saying, this is what it is. And, of course, as always, thank you so much to Ian C. Weber for composing our theme song. It just makes sense. The C stands for Con Air.
Yeah, it's got it.
Follow the link in our show description to listen to all of Ian's fun stuff. We're going to be doing something a little different after we sign off. We're actually going to play you out with one of Cook Short's songs. And you can, as you said, listen to his album on iTunes if you want to hear more. Thank you for supplying us with that.
Yeah.
No problem. Enjoy the song.
Yeah, hope you enjoyed. All right, and tune in next week for Exam. Featuring a very special guest. And for No Highway Option, I've been Connor.
And I've been Luke.
And this is Cook Short.
And as always, these have been our opinions, and if you didn't agree with them, that's too bad, because it's our way.
No highway option.
Enjoy the song.
It's time to jump ship, shit ain't the same. I feel my pain, it's time to jump ship. Water pours in, I cannot swim. It's time to jump ship, shit ain't the same. I feel my pain, it's time to jump ship. Water pours in, I cannot swim. I feel my heart, ay, my life is rough. To say it plain, I feel my heart break. There goes my brain, I've gone insane. I need my heart safe. Hopefully I can reclaim everything that I love in my life. It's not lust. Jump ship, shit ain't the same. I feel my pain, it's time to jump ship. Water pours in, I cannot swim. It's time to jump ship, shit ain't the same. I feel my pain, it's time to jump ship. Water pours in, I cannot swim. It's a different state of mind that you need from time to time. When your world goes upside down and you feel you need some rounds. When you don't know where to turn and your life is all you burn. When it's time to jump ship, cause it's easier than worse. I don't pop no pills, I don't take Xans, I just smoke a lot. When my life went and turned to shit, I just learned a lot. Now I sit up with no words, yeah, I stop to think a lot. So I sit up on my stone throne, I get lost in thought. Jump ship, shit ain't the same. I feel my pain, it's time to jump ship. Water pours in, I cannot swim. It's time to jump ship, shit ain't the same. I feel my pain, it's time to jump ship. Water pours in, I cannot swim. I feel my heart, ayy, my life is rough. To say it plain, I feel my heart break. There goes my brain, I've gone insane. I need my heart safe. Hopefully I can reclaim every